I'm Eric Allen for KLCC. Native American storyteller Thomas Doty presents Doty and Coyote, stories from the Native West at the UL Baker Center on Friday, October 28th. He'll merge traditional and original Native stories from his Shasta and Takelma heritage in a free appearance sponsored by the Lane County Historical Society and the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute. Thanks for being at KLCC, Tom.
I am pleased to be here.
Well, Coyote is a mythological character in Native stories, a being whose attributes have differed from tribe and time to time. To you, who is Coyote?
Well, Coyote has a lot of masks. He has a whole bag of masks, and he is sometimes the trickster Coyote and sometimes the fool and sometimes Coyote old man with a lot of wisdom. But he usually kind of has a split personality. So there's that part of Coyote that's breaking all the rules, causing all the trouble, right? The guy we laugh at because he does all the stuff that we can't do. But besides being the fool, the other part of him is he always brings something of importance to the people as well. And that makes him a true trickster character, whether he brings his Crater Lake or tobacco or good sex or whatever it happens to be. And so those two parts are really very much alive. And he's kind of taken on a role of his own, a little more of a role of his own in modern times. In the old myths, of course, he's very, very present. We have more coyote stories strung around Oregon than any other kind. But there's also been a lot of newer stories written about coyote. A lot of poets, Native American poets, have written modern pieces about coyote. So he's still very much alive in our modern Native American culture, as well as having a voice from the old time.
Are there other particular central characters with whom coyote is surrounded in your tales?
Me. And I say that because, in addition to, I have two jobs as a storyteller, and one of my jobs is to keep the old-time stories alive, the traditional stories alive, with integrity. So the core of the story and the many layers of truth in the story and meanings and what the characters do, that stuff doesn't change as it's passed from generation to generation. But we storytellers also create new stories all the time, as storytellers have done for centuries. So many of my new Native American stories are Doty and Coyote stories, which has this guy named Doty who's a storyteller, looks a little like me, and is a semi-mythic companion coyote wandering around the countryside having adventures. And within those are traditional stories and folklore and history. It's my way of taking a very fractured mythology following the Indian Wars, the 1850s, and piecing them back together in such a way that they speak to a contemporary audience and still gives us an entry into the old-time cultures that's authentic.
Within that contemporary realm, what does truth mean to you in terms of storytelling?
when I started storytelling 35 years ago, and if I would tell somebody I was a storyteller, they'd look at me kind of funny, and they'd say, oh, my grandpa tells lies too. And these days when I say I'm a storyteller, because storytelling's gone through such a renaissance, people go, oh, that's great. I heard such and such a couple of weeks ago. For me, truth, you really get at the essence of the truth through the myths. We tend to use the word myth in our contemporary culture as something untrue or a lie. Let's debunk the myths, right? And yet, myth gets us to the ultimate truth, the layers of meaning that bring alive all those archetypes that we're hardwired to listen to and to feel, because it's stories that touch us really deeply where we feel our emotions. And facts don't do that the same way. And that's why we tell stories and write music and do dance and make films and write novels. It's all stories.
Why do you think storytelling would find a renaissance in 2016?
That's a good question. When I started in 1981, there were five of us professional storytellers in Oregon. And now there, I think, last count, 180, 200 or more. I think it's because with all of the rising of technological things and the ease with which we can get information, there's also been a yearning to kind of go back to the old days and to simply sit and listen to somebody share a story. And we've also discovered a lot that stories have not only educational entertainment values, they also have healing values. And, a good example would be 9/11. And when 9/11 happened, everybody was paralyzed. You know, they were paralyzed. They were locked into watching that same video time after time of a plane crashing into the building, right? And we felt helpless and paralyzed. And it wasn't until people like the NPR reporters started getting out on the street and talking to people and allowing them to share their stories that people had something they could relate to. And that was the very beginning of the healing process, which is, of course, still going on.
In your storytelling context, there are different audiences. And in your appearances in Eugene, you're appearing both at a school and for an adult audience. Do you find your stories changing dependent upon attributes of the audience, from age to any other attribute?
A little bit, yeah. A lot of the stories – well, the beauty of traditional Native American stories is that everybody in the village was expected to be there, from the youngest to the oldest in the village, everybody in between. And so the stories automatically have these different layers of meaning and truth built in. And if the storyteller knows their art, they're going to tell the story in such a way through words and movements and facial expressions and gestures – in such a way that they keep alive all those different levels of meaning at the same time, so that no matter who you are and where you're at in your life and what experiences you've had so far in life, you're going to have something you can relate to. So I will often tell a story to kindergartners is the same story I sometimes tell in a college classroom. And I've had people come up to me. I remember not too long ago going to a school and a teacher was telling stories and he said, oh, I remember when you came to my class when I was a little kid, right? And he said, I remember you did that boy and father story, but boy, it was really different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't tell it that differently, but he's a different person and he's relating it to it differently. So that's the beauty of the really deep traditional stories.
So do you find then that the audiences themselves have evolved in what they're listening for or how they're listening over the course of these past 20-some years?
I don't know that they've evolved so much. I would hope that I've evolved a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because I remember when I started telling stories, I didn't really know very well how to relate to an audience, how to get them involved and participating in the story, inviting them into the story. I've gotten a lot better at that. And I think because of that, you know, storytelling is all about sharing. Sharing a story that matters to you in a way that it really matters to somebody else. And you do that by inviting them in, you know, by opening up, giving them places they can go, and then taking them through the story. And when I started, I was simply telling stories at the audience, of course, because I didn't know what I was doing. Mm-hmm. But as I've gotten more intimate with the stories, more comfortable being up in front of people, I've found ways to invite them in. And I think that makes them also better listeners because they feel welcomed in. And being a storyteller is also being a good listener. So as I listen to the elders and all of that, you know, I used to be the kind of listener who would always be just waiting for somebody to pause for like that long so that I could jump in there with my opinion, right? So I wasn't really listening. But now I want to be such a good listener to somebody's story that I inspire them to tell the story in ways they never thought was possible.
When you come to the conclusion of the story, do you want there to be a specific lesson or a moral or something that you always want to communicate, or is that up to the audience?
It's really up to the audience. If I've done my job well and I have dramatized those various levels of truth, they're going to get that from the story. I don't need to tell them what it is at the end. And a lot of times if you do add a little moral on at the end, or you have a story that's got a title like How the Chipmunk Got Its Stripes or something like that, you're automatically telling the audience in certain ways that if they got something else out of the story, they're wrong because you're telling what they're supposed to get out of the story. And there's so many ways that these stories work for so many people, so I leave it open. I try to do the best job I can do with the story, open the door, and let the audience walk in and have their own personal experience.
Do you think the role of these stories changes in times that are so intense as our current times are, from politics to climate shifts?
I think that we choose stories that are particularly important for our times. I know I've got a couple of stories I do. I've got one about politicians that I tell every 4 years about Coyote giving the politicians big mouths and a few other things, right? And I tell it every 4 years, and it has nothing to do with the Olympics. And they're very funny, and people can really relate to them. But I also think, you know, once I came across a prophecy that was from 1841, early eruption of Mount St. Helens, that was predicting, or so I thought at the time, the coming of the white people. And I got to thinking about that. And I go, wait a minute, white people were around. We knew about white people. Why are we Indian people predicting the coming of the white people after we knew they were here? And one day I was up in the Siskiyou Mountains with my friend Wallace Black Elk, and I asked him that question. I said, what's this all about? Why bother to do this? And he says, oh, Doty, you're still thinking like a white man, you know? And he said, a prophecy is not a prediction. A prophecy is like a sign that says curve ahead in the road. It's like when we feel that the world is a little bit out of balance and things need to be done, we come up with a story that says, wake up. Look around you. Something needs to be done. You can do something about it. So I think depending what's going on in our lives and the world, we tend to draw upon stories, many of them, you know, very, very old, or create new ones that really speak to what's going on in the world at that time.
So with this world out of balance as it is, what from the Native culture in its wisdom can help us bring our earth back into balance?
I think the ability simply to start with, to be able to listen to a story and give people the opportunity as good listeners to tell a story. I mean, if you look at the debates, for instance, you don't see that as storytelling. It's a shouting match. Nobody's opening the door for anybody else to share. And by doing that, by closing that door, you're not inviting anybody else's opinions in either. So I think it's really important that when we share our stories, that we have this exchange, you know. And when I was up in Alaska traveling around, I met an Inuit woman, an elder of her village, who gave me the best definition of storytelling I have ever heard. And she said, a storyteller creates the atmosphere in which wisdom reveals itself. And I asked a group of sixth graders once what that meant. And one girl always raised her hand first, raised her hand. She goes, oh, that's simple. You get the storyteller out of the story. And I thought, yes, what I've been trying to do all of my career. How can we tell our stories in such a way that we give our listeners the experience of the truths of the story, the essence of the story, rather than just the personality of the storyteller? So I think if we're looking to share, we need to share in deeper ways. We need to get rid of that them or us attitude. If you're not with us, you're against us kind of thing, and open up and see our commonalities, and we can do that through stories.
Well, thank you for your stories and for your listening.
Thank you so much.
Thomas Doty, Native American storyteller, who will bring Doty and Coyote stories from the Native West to the UO Baker Center in Eugene on Friday, October 28th at 7 p.m. The free performance is sponsored by Osher Lifelong Learning Institutes and Lane County Historical Society. For more information, lchm.org and dotycoyote.com. For an extended version of this interview, klcc.org. For KLCC, I'm Eric Allen.